Das ist Bern einfach. Jeden Tag die richtige Dosis Politik vom Nebelspalter. Kritisch und unabhängig.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von Breitling. Tickt präzise und bleibt cool. Selbst wenn die Welt mal aus dem Takt geratet. Schweizerisch seit 1884.
Willkommen zu einem Bern-Einfach-Spezial. Ich bin in Mailand und ich habe ein Interview mit dem Federico Sturzenegger geführt. Er ist Minister für Deregulation und Transformation vom Staat in Argentinien. Und es gibt Leute, die sagen, er sei die rechte Hand vom argentinischen Präsident Javier Milei. Sicher ist, dass er zu einem Viertel aus der Schweiz, aus Appenzell-Ausserrhoden stammt. Ich habe ein Gespräch geführt mit ihm, wie man den Staat dereguliert, wie man das zusammen mit den Bürgerinnen und Bürgern macht und was ein gutes die Wirtschaftspolitik ist. Er kommt heute in die Schweiz und morgen ist er dann noch in Zürich, aber das Interview bei Bern einfach gibt es schon heute. Es ist auf Englisch, tun also weiterhören. So, Minister Sturzenegger, nice to have you for an interview, that's great. So, what are the main lessons from Argentina for Europe, for European politicians? What would you say? What is the main thing?
I would start saying, what are the main themes of Milei administration? I say he has two big things. In the economic, I'm talking in the economics, which is more my area, because he also has an agenda on security issues and international relations, but we'll leave that aside for a second. So in the economics, he has two ideas. The first one is not very relevant for Switzerland, is that Argentina is going to have a fiscal surplus.
Yes.
Okay? You know, because Switzerland is a very responsible, fiscally very responsible.
We have a debt break.
Okay, but so Argentina, you know, for 100 years, a fiscal deficit, high inflation, instability, defaults, you name it. Okay, you have all the crises.
We were writing about that.
Okay, so Milei says 120 years of crisis. The core reason of the crisis is the fiscal imbalance. We're gonna have a budget balance. In his first month, he cuts government expenditure 5% of GDP. He achieves the fiscal surplus. He sustained the fiscal surplus throughout his 2 years in government. Very surprising, because people thought, oh, if you cut government expenditure 5% of GDP, you're going to plunge the economy into a recession. The economy grew 6%, because remember, every penny the government spent is a penny that you have to charge people with taxes. So you reduce government expenditure, you reduce the taxes, which is the most important tax Milei reduced with his fiscal adjustment, which call it the chainsaw.
Yeah.
The chainsaw.
We saw that.
Yeah, you saw that. So what was the most important tax that he cut? He cut money printing, because a lot of this expenditure was being financed with money printing. When he cuts money printing, he brings down inflation. He takes out 12 million people out of poverty, because the inflation tax, as you know, is a tax which is paid mostly by the poor. So I think that is one area, nothing to teach the Swiss on this dimension, but it's very important for us. And then the second dimension, which I think is quite interesting, is the deregulation agenda. The belief that the freer people are, the more prosperous a country is, that people operate in the market to serve others, not to fool others. And so he has this aim of making Argentina the freest country in the world. And remember, I'm the Minister of State Reform and Deregulation, so I've been in charge of this agenda of kind of taking away all this layer of regulation. You have absurd regulations. Mm-hmm. You have regulations which were not thought by a central planner thinking on the good society, but it was lobby from certain interests that they wanted a regulation.
Okay, pressure groups that wanted...
Pressure groups, you know, exactly. So I think we've had a very, very successful... I think if there's a lesson from Argentina to be had for, I don't know, for Switzerland, but certainly for European countries, you know, because European countries has this... They have a lot of regulations, and they have two layers, you know, because they have the national layer and then they have the European Union layer. So I think it's very interesting. We worked 2 years before Milei came to government reviewing all the laws of Argentina to know and understand what had to be changed. We open up, for example, I have my email open. So I ask people, write to me.
Okay.
Write to me.
And they do it. Every day.
Every day.
You need some stuff to look into it.
No, and I look at myself because look, it's so much fun, and also
it's so much fun.
Well, I mean, it's fun.
But also,
I have a friend who says that deregulation is like peeling an onion, that you have layer after layer, and then you end up crying because at some point, you can't believe how much of a disaster is. But so people communicate with us, and they tell us it's kind of the victims of the system. I have stories which are amazingly ridiculous of what the things the government is asking you to do. And that is a very fantastic input in this process. Mm-hmm. So I think this direct communication, which today is possible through social media, through internet, through email. We have a website in our ministry where people can also upload their, not complaints, it's saying, look, we have this regulation, I understand this regulation, what purpose it serves. And so then, yes, there I have a team of people who start analyzing that. And I think that's a very rewarding task, and you feel how you're kind of releasing the constraints that people face for economic production. And it's great. It feels great.
You know, this is common sense.
Common sense.
A balanced national budget, reducing inflation. And you have studied economics at the most famous schools. But I think economics has lost this kind of common sense economics. A lot of economists are saying, even though you started to do it, they said it won't going to happen. Argentina will dive into recession, and it didn't happen. Why has economics lost this kind of common sense?
To be honest, I think, and the president is very strong about this. For example, if you take some basic macroeconomic textbook, there's a very famous textbook, which is called the Mankiw textbook. Yeah. Anyway, so it's very famous. So there you have something called the multiplier. So the story is, look, if the government spends, then it puts, for example, it gives you some money, okay? And then you go out and then you buy a beer or go to a restaurant and then that creates what's called a multiplier effect.
Indeed.
Okay, indeed. So and that's it. But that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it wrong? Because for me to put money in your pocket, I have to take the money from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tax someone to put money. So you may have a multiplier effect, but the people I took the money from,
they have less.
They have less. So they have a negative multiplier of the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow and this is part of the cultural battle of Milei, no? He says, there's a number of ideas in economics which at the end which are wrong, like this one, which is obviously wrong. I mean, you cannot analyze what is the effect of your spending without analyzing what is the effect of me having to tax someone in order to allow you to spend. But it's kind of, people forget the second part, so they only see the nice part, not the bad part. And this kind of somehow the economic profession has been the shell which at the end of the day, who is to benefit from these ideas? The idea who want to push for more government expenditure, because people say, oh, I'm going to push for more government expenditure, but we're going to have these huge multiplier effects. No, you have to count the negative multiplier effects that you're going to produce as well. So I don't know if it's intentional or not, but the truth of the matter is that somehow the way macroeconomics is taught has created a bias towards state intervention. Students leave universities thinking that it's having an economy expand is just pushing a button of government expenditure and it will work. And I think it's part of the battle. I mean, look, if that would be true, Argentina would be the richest country in the world, would be richer than Switzerland, okay? So definitely doesn't work. But what we need to kind of fight the cultural battle of these ideas, which I think are a little bit distorted. The same thing happens, for example, another area where this happens is with the trade protection.
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, no, if you open up the economy and watch the mention, the prices come down, the sector which is producing that product is going to suffer. But what you have to take into consideration is the fact that when the consumer buys those products cheaper, he's left with money in his pocket, which before he was using to pay for a more expensive product.
Right?
So you have more money in your pocket, and what are you going to do with that money? You're going to spend it somewhere else. So you're going to create employment somewhere else. So that's the open economies tend to be richer, tend to be have more export, have more imports. They don't have a problem with employment, rich open economy. So there you see also a cultural mm-hmm. battle. But, you know, there's a very famous economist called Hazlitt. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book in the late 40s, and it's called Economics in One Lesson. Yeah, you know about it?
I know it. And the first lesson is only 2.5 pages.
That's it.
You have to look on the broader things that are happening and on the long term.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is what I'm saying. I mean, if you actually have openness, then you affect one sector, but then that frees resources to expand others.
For our listeners, I will publish this lesson in the show notes of this podcast. Because it's really, I give it also to youngsters.
Yeah.
You only, and I'm not an economist myself, this one lesson is very easy. So the numbers are quite good. Inflation is down, poverty is down, balance sheet.
Inflation is down.
Yeah. And will it go on like that? What are the main challenges now in our...
Well, I would say the main challenges are political.
Okay.
I mean...
winning elections? Or?
Javier has... come to challenge a system, a system of privileges, a system where you have different actors which have lived under the cover of the protection of the state. All, and who's paying for all that privileges? The customer, the common citizen. Okay, so he's come. So this system is resisting. And the system is going to try to do everything possible for Milei not to be successful. So, for example, now we have elections in a few months, mm-hmm. Actually in a month. So the Congress now is kind of issuing, because, you know, we also have a very little representation in mm-hmm. Congress. So we really have a very
politically difficult situation.
But I mean, it's a very thriving democracy, because for mm-hmm. the first time you have a government executive. So, you know, they fight. I think it's fascinating, okay, to have this. Mm-hmm. We always, those which believe in the Republic and the division of power, I think, well, you've never had anything like this in Argentina before. But the Congress now is basically issuing laws where they say, spend this money. And say, where's the money coming from? No, you spend the money and then figure out where you're getting the money from, okay? So what do you mean? You want to undermine the fiscal stability. Yeah. So I think we have this political challenge right now, but I think it's a manifestation of this status quo, disestablishing, realizing that the success of Javier Milei is the end of this regime. No, and remember this, when I was born in 1966, Argentina was a country which was richer than Spain, for example. I was 10 years old and Argentina was still a country which was richer than Spain. Mm-hmm. And yet the system over the years have been impoverishing us. But a lot of people have benefited from the system, so they're going to fight for its survival. So I think if there's a difficulty, it's more political, because the clarity that President Milei has in his ideas and the effectiveness with which he has implemented kind of speak for themselves. No, I mean, mm-hmm. if you have a president which in 1 year and a half takes 12 million people out of poverty, which in 1 year half brings the inflation rate from 25 to 1.5, with the economy growing 6%, you would say, well, I mean, what else is there to discuss, okay? But again, there's some interest.
They're against that.
Reform is never easy, correct? Revolutions are never easy. And more so if you want to do a revolution within an institutional framework, which is what President Milei is doing.
Not against it, yeah. I hear a lot of politicians in Europe or even in Switzerland that are saying, yes, these reforms, they might be good for Argentina. Okay. But in Switzerland, we don't do really a deregulation or scrapping the state, really looking into it, what is necessary, and can we maybe shrink the state a little bit? It's good for them. It's not...
Look,
they are sticking to their model.
You can imagine that coming from Argentina, I'm not going to lecture the Swiss, okay? To do those things. You're not going to get me there, okay? Argentina is a country where there was corruption, there was totally bloated a public sector. People would work hard to do absolutely nothing. Definitely nothing. It has nothing to do with Switzerland, okay? It's a completely different society. So I would perfectly understand if the Swiss have a different approach, because their problems are not have no resemblance with the problems that dramatic problems that we had. Okay, so I personally believe in freedom. I like the freedom, but now Switzerland is one of the freest countries in the world. So I think you shouldn't complain either. Mm. But what I'm saying is, but anyway, people can look at what we do. If they find that there's something useful to learn from it, all the best. But we don't. I don't think we have the credibility or the track record to lecture anybody on anything.
but it's an interesting approach. Even in Switzerland, we have tendencies that are going in the wrong way. So it's interesting to look to someone else.
I think it's perfect.
So the origin of your family is from Switzerland?
They're from a town called Reutte, which is a little bit south of St. Gallen.
Yes, in Appenzell.
Remember that I'm only 25% Swiss because it's the family of the father of my father.
Okay.
Sturzenegger. Yeah. Then I'm 50% Italian, and then I'm 25% Spanish. I say I'm 100% Argentinian.
Okay? That's fine. But do you think this kind of common sense economics has to do something with the Swiss approach? That has always been a bit like that. The state can only pay something if he has the money to do so, no debts.
I'm just one pawn in the government. I think the guy who's really kind of brought forward this idea is Milei. I think definitely for all of us looking at the Swiss society, we always say, look, it's we've taken 12 million people, but we're not Switzerland, correct? or sometimes we it's funny because, for example, when the Pern is now in the electoral campaign, they speak as if when they were government, you know, we didn't have a... Say, what did they think? We were Switzerland when they govern? No, I mean, we have 50% poverty. So we always use Switzerland as an example for us, okay?
Okay.
Of the place that we would like to be in and... But again, I think we're doing a nice experiment in economic freedom, and I hope it gives lessons on some particular dimension, and the same way that we learn a lot from Switzerland as well. Hopefully we can really look. I mentioned it a few minutes ago that 2 million. I don't know if you mentioned it. 2 million Argentines left before Milei became president.
Yeah.
And those were our sons and daughters, because it was the young people who were leaving Argentina. Now 2 million is almost 5% of the population.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think we realized that if we didn't do something drastic in Argentina, we were going to see our children and grandchildren over soon. We're going to see them broken. We're going to see them living in another country. No, I think this is the reason the Argentines... wanted to do a change. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do a drastic change. And I think Javier is delivering. It's a long process. You don't change a society, the ways, the thinking of people from 1 year to the next. You have to keep a steady course. You have to be convinced of what you're doing. I go back to the beginning, fiscal stability, deregulation and economic freedom. And I think that if we do that in 20, 30 years, Argentina may be in a completely different place.
Javier Milei, I think he stated that Argentina will be richer than Switzerland. I was reading.
Let's not exaggerate. Okay.
Yes.
So, certainly, I think Argentina has a lot to catch up, has extremely able people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with a little bit of property rights, of which Switzerland is perhaps the main proponent of that, and so property rights, economic stability, I mean, the sky is the limit. I definitely see that. You know, we're in the middle of an energy boom. We have the second largest reserve of natural gas.
Yeah.
We have basically our regulations have not allowed to do any mining in the Andes. So, for example, Chile exports $50 billion a year of mining. We export $3 billion. So it's kind of, we've been shooting ourselves in our foot for so many times. Yeah. But now, okay,
destroying opportunities.
So destroying opportunities. So I think Argentina, well, as you know, our agricultural sector, our technology sector, listen, we have so many possibilities, but we have to have a state which is responsible. We have to respect property rights. We have to provide economic freedom. Yes, I agree with the president. The sky's the limit. Even Switzerland.
Very good. Very good to hear. And I hope Argentine will become like Switzerland. Okay. This would be absolutely great. Minister Sulzenegger, thank you for the interview and have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Das ist Bern einfach. Jeden Tag die richtige Dosis Politik vom Nebelspalter. Kritisch und unabhängig.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von Breitling. Tickt präzise und bleibt cool. Selbst wenn die Welt mal aus dem Takt geraten. Schweizerisch seit 1884.